Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 35 of the World of Goldcraft. I'm your host, as usual, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I am here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As usual, I'll talk through my week in terms of goldmaking, I'll talk a little bit about what's happened with the game, and a discussion point, and this week I'm going to talk a little bit about the classic World of Warcraft, which is coming... Well, it's supposed to come this summer, so we should have a date soon, but I'm going to talk a little bit about gold making in classic World of Warcraft, which I think is going to be fun. But let's just dive right in and look at my week. So, once again, I had a week where I only collected my mailboxes and reposted auctions twice, because last weekend I was a little lazy and I didn't do it on Friday or Saturday, I did it on Sunday, which meant that when I was streaming on Monday, most of my auctions were still up, and I can't be bothered doing cancel scans, and also I didn't have time to stream on Monday as well, I said I streamed on Monday, but I didn't, because I had to finish up some other stuff, sadly, but that did mean that I only had two rounds of reposting auctions and collecting auctions, which is less than the three times I try to aim for generally. But still, it went pretty well. My total sales across my realms this week were just shy of 1.2 million gold. Obviously really good, considering that was off of two mailboxes. On Wednesday, I had about 670,000 gold worth of sales. And then on Friday, when I collected my mailboxes again, I had another 500,000 gold across my realms. So that's really, really good. My liquid gold, the total gold I have available on all of my characters, went from 13.2 million to about 13.9. So that means about 600k in terms of actual gold profit this week. So that's really good, obviously. This is interesting because we're now finished completely with April, so I can look back at my data from April. And if we're looking at April in total, I had a profit in April of about 3.2 million gold, which is, I would say that's pretty good. I did spend about 1.4 million out of that 3.2 on tokens. So my actual gold only increased by 1.8 million. But that means I could still buy another 10 tokens with my profits this month, which is pretty good. I've never actually tracked my sales like this, so this is the first time I'm really facing, but apparently I can make about 3.1 million gold in a month, and that's a profit, not my sales, so that's really good. So I think we can pretty conclusively say that my approach to BOE flipping is definitely working. I have had one issue lately, which is a surprisingly large number of my mailboxes have been empty. So I've been getting a lot of zero sales mailboxes on some of my realms, and in particular there are a couple of my realms that this has happened more often on, so I'll definitely have to take a little bit of a look on those to try to figure out why that is. I may have to reprioritize away from some of these realms. Maybe I'll just liquidate, buy tokens with all my gold and move to another realm. I haven't really decided on anything, but I'm considering it. That's what it is. But if we take a look at BOEs this week, I hit just a little over 1 million gold in sales from BOEs, including one 327k sale. I believe that was actually one of the world drop BOEs, which makes it pretty amazing. I'm assuming it was item level 365, most likely. I don't think I have any item level 370 world drop weapons, but that's still a really, really nice price, which is just amazing. I did do a little bit of shopping, but not too much. I did one shopping round on Wednesday where I spent 513,000 gold across my nine realms. So this week I hope I'll get in at least two rounds of shopping scans, I should say, across all my realms. And then, of course, three times reposting all of my auctions to get the sales in. So that's cool. Now, if we're looking at my total net profits from BOEs since February, when I started recording my sales and purchases, my net profits have now passed 1.3 million gold. So that's really good. I'm considering adjusting my prices down a little bit to increase the sales volume and make sure that I can realize like a decent total profit before we get to like 8.2 and the changes. But 8.2 is still pretty far off. So I think I will stick to my current settings for a little while longer, but I'll probably start lowering my prices pretty soon. Probably going to lower my my purchasing prices, but we'll see. I did also find a little time to level my hunter, although not too much. So my hunter is now level 117. So we're getting closer to 120 and the start of the 30 days to a token challenge. I did do a little bit of analysis of the realm that I'm doing the token challenge, that I'm going to be doing the challenge on. So I posted that on Sunday. If you haven't read it yet, definitely go check that out. I go through all of the professions using the spreadsheet that I've made for BFA professions to try to figure out which professions look most enticing or most promising in terms of what you can do to make gold with them on a fresh level 120 character where you don't have anything else than level 120 and no higher rank recipes because you don't have reputations, you don't have anything else unlocked. So that's definitely something you can learn from, so do check that out if you haven't. Now, if we're looking at the game, there's not too much to say. Obviously, I'll be covering 8.2 in a later episode. What there is to say is, of course, Children's Week is now live. And Unaat finally fell. And Pieces managed to beat Method for World First, which is pretty cool. It's nice that it's not the same guild every time that wins. It's nice to have some actual competition, so that's cool. And I think this bodes quite well for 8.2, because hopefully this should be a spur both in Method and other guilds. Like, other guilds will see it's possible to dethrone Method, and Method will be like, oh crap, they can actually dethrone us, we're gonna have to really push. Obviously, stay tuned for gold-making opportunities related to that specifically. If you manage to get some max item level BOEs with sockets during the first week of Normal and Heroic, those are going to be worth a lot of gold for the top guilds specifically. Like, if you get something like that, I'd suggest like contacting someone in Method or Pieces or Limit or whichever guild is on your region. Like, you don't have to be on their realm. Just find like their Discord servers or whatever. Message them like, hey, tweet at them, I have this item on sale on Realm X. You can probably make a lot of gold off of that. They'll be paying a lot of gold to get those during the first week, because they'll be very rare. So if you get them, then definitely go do it. Now, before the discussion point, we're going to talk, we're going to take a question, because we have the first question from our $10 patrons, which is great. So we'll be getting into that. The question is from Rachel and Ray. So thank you so much for supporting me. Let's just get into it. Hey, Lazy Goldmaker, longtime listener, new patron here. I've been out of WoW since BFA started, and I'm looking to come back in and start afresh in the next few weeks. My plan is to buy a token on a new character or realm and see how much I can grow and start money to. If you were in a similar position, yeah, with only the money for a token, what would your plan of attack be? So this is I like this question, and this is sort of a more generic, what do you do when you're just starting out? Because an NA token is about 120-ish thousand gold right now, which is a decent amount, probably more than a lot of average players have, but it's still not enough that it's going to make you rich or give you access to some of the super high gold-making methods. But it is a great amount to start really getting into auction house based methods. You can really get into crafting because you can craft up a decent amount of inventory, which makes it a great starting point. Now, I'm going to assume that you only have a single character if you haven't played since the beginning of BFA, at least a single character in terms of BFA professions. Now, obviously, leveling to 120 and getting access to higher rank recipes from your professions is going to be important. This is definitely something that always increases the amount of gold you can make. But it depends a little bit on the profession. There are some professions where this is more important and then some where this is less important. Now, the first market I suggest is Of course, for those of you who have followed me for a while, it's going to be material flipping. Now, material flipping is really good because you can probably buy items for more than 100k's worth that are actually good deals. And it works at even smaller amounts than that as well. So with 120,000-ish gold, you'll have a great starting point to get into material flipping. In my experience, I find that stringy loins in particular, and shimmer scale and coarse leather, are some of the better items, but this could depend a little bit on realm. Like, I haven't done this on every realm and on you, and there are definitely differences. It's going to depend a lot on whether you have any super hardcore farmers, for instance, because they are definitely going to increase the supply of the specific items they target when they're farming. If you're unfamiliar with what I do with material flipping, so I use TradeSkillMaster's price database, and then I'll buy any items for the specific material that are priced at less than 80% of the market value according to TSM, and then I'll be trying to sell them in nice even stacks of 200, of 100, of 50, 20, and then 10. Those are the stack sizes I use. And then I'll post them for about 100% of the market value, which means that I'll be getting about a 20% profit margin per item. And this works pretty well, as long as there aren't any super hardcore farmers on that specific material, because they might just dump hundreds of stacks of 200 if they're doing like some crazy multi-box farming or something like that. Now, the next thing I do in addition to material farming is, of course, looking into some crafting professions. And in BFA so far, I've definitely had the most success with the armor crafting professions. They've been doing really well. Sinister combatant gear has been really something that's working really well, and I expect the new combatant gear that's coming in patch 8.2 to do really well as well. Now, tailoring should be one of them, as it's typically by far the cheapest way to get Expulsum. You can just craft the tight spray linen bracers, and then you scrap them en masse, and you'll get the Expulsum you need. I'd probably suggest, like, on a general basis, tailoring plus blacksmithing, but definitely go through my spreadsheet and check it out on the realm. Now, I'm gonna, of course, in the episode description on the blog, there's gonna be a lot of links to guides to all of the things that I just suggested, but that's gonna be the gist of it. Look into material flipping and then crafting professions. My generic suggestion is tailoring and blacksmithing, but it could be that leatherworking or even jewel crafting is better on your realm. It depends on the prices of certain items, which you can use my spreadsheet to figure out. And you can actually, I did write a post about that for the 30 Days to a Token Challenge, where I went through a realm to figure out which professions to choose. So you can look at that for some inspiration as well. So hopefully that's going to help you on the way to figuring out what to do. Like, material flipping is, in my opinion, the best way to go for newer gold makers, especially in terms of learning the auction house. And then crafting professions are just really good. So start there, and that should definitely, you should be able to utilize a lot of your gold just getting into those markets, and you should be getting sales back fairly quickly, because these are markets where there is a lot of demand. So that's really very good for you. All right. So let's get into the discussion point this week. I'm going to talk a little bit about gold making in Classic. I actually wrote a guide about the auction house and an introduction to the economy for Wowhead. It's also going to be linked in the episode description. And I am going to talk a little bit about my thoughts about gold making in Classic. These might be, some of them I think are a little bit controversial. They were, at least, when this was discussed on the subreddit, WoW Economy. A lot of people disagreed with me about gold making in Classic, so that's going to be very interesting, I think. Now, of course, Classic is supposed to be coming out this summer. We still don't have a release date, but we do know that it is coming, and it's going to be included in our live BFA subscriptions, which means that I'm definitely going to play it. I actually played during Classic, and I definitely want to check it out, and I also really want to make a lot of gold in Classic. Now, the first thing, of course, is we're all going to start fresh, new characters, new realms. On day one, there's actually going to be zero gold available on the realm, or whatever you start with. Maybe it's a little bit, like there's going to be a couple of copper each, which is essentially nothing. And this is going to be one of the defining features for quite a while. We're going to have very little gold in the beginning, obviously. It's going to take a while. Now, obviously, when we go out into the world and kill mobs and sell the stuff we get from them, we're going to get gold. And we're not going to spend all of this gold on repairs and stuff like that. Some of this is going to be available to trade with other players. But it's going to take a while before that gold amount hits a meaningful number. Which means that essentially prices for everything in the beginning is probably going to be fairly low. And it might almost be impossible to trade with other players in the beginning. Because it's just not going to be worth it to post anything on the auction house when you can just get a couple of silver for it. So it's going to take a while before we get a meaningful player economy, I think. Now, how long is a while? I have absolutely no idea. I do expect that we will start to see player trading within a month at least. But I honestly have no idea. I'm purely guesstimating here. So this is going to be a thing. And this is also going to mean that if you're quick at leveling, for instance, it's probably going to be worth it to target some farms where you get a lot of raw gold, which means you get a lot of gold drops and you'll get a lot of expensive vendor items that you can sell. So you generate gold directly rather than trying to farm a specific material and then sell that on the auction house, because there isn't going to be too much gold on the auction house in the beginning. This is, of course, eventually going to change, and there's going to be gold in the economy, and you're probably going to be better off farming hard-to-get materials such as fel cloth or something similar. So this is one of the defining features. Another one is, of course, that the Classic has a very different design philosophy from the live game, and we're going to notice that. And one of the ways we're going to notice that is the barriers to entry. There's going to be much higher barriers to entry in various markets. There's going to be, for crafting professionals, there are going to be a lot of rare recipes that you need to obtain by some... maybe you have to grind Timbermaw Hold Rep to get some of the weapon enchants. You're going to have to go through hoops to get a lot of recipes, and some of these recipes are going to be very important. They're going to drop from raid bosses. They're going to drop from dungeons. They're going to be locked behind long quest lines. And of course, some of these recipes are going to be really valuable. If you have them, you can make a lot of gold with them. But there's maybe only going to be two people on the realm who has the recipe. So they're obviously going to be able to make a lot of gold because they're the only ones who can sell the item. And this means that for some items, there will be much higher profit margins than for a lot of items in BFA or Legion. Because in the live game, there are almost no barriers to entry for recipes. Of course, there are some barriers for like rank 3 recipes. And for some markets, this matters. And for some, it doesn't so much. Like for Sinister Combatant Gear in the live game, you can have rank 1 and you can still make 50% profit. No problem. But those have a barrier to entry in the Expulsum crafting, but still. There's going to be much harder to get recipes and to get all of them and to get... to get the in-demand items, to be able to craft them. That's going to be a thing, and this is both a good thing and a bad thing. It's a very good thing if you have the recipe. It's a bad thing if you don't have a lot of time to play, such as I don't have a lot of time to play, so there are a lot of recipes that I'll probably never get. Or at least not in a reasonable time where it matters. Another thing that's very different from the live game is that there are a much larger number of different materials that are used in crafting. Like, there are crafting recipes which use a lot more, like, esoteric, weird crafting materials. You have the gems that you can get from mining that are used in, like, various crafts. You have a lot of recipes that take some materials from another group of trade skills. Like, you'll have a piece of blacksmithing armor. That requires some ores and maybe some gems and maybe some leather, and you'll have to trade with other players to even get the materials to craft these items, because it's essentially impossible to obtain them all on a character that has blacksmithing or whatever. So it's not going to be like one like it is in the live game, where leatherworking has like 6 different materials and that's it. That's not going to be the case at all. There's going to be a much wider number of materials, and it's going to be a much, much wider number of materials needed to level up your trade skills, level up your professions. That's going to take a lot of different materials and a lot of materials, That's going to be fairly hard. Like, it's going to be hard to level professions. It's going to take a while. Now, all of this said, I still think there's going to be a very healthy economy, and you're going to be able to get rich by classic standards, by using essentially the same methods that are used in the main game. You just need to figure out markets where there are going to be variations in supply and demand, because then you can make gold flipping. And there are always variations in supply and demand based on when people play the game and when they do raids and when they do dungeons. And of course, there's going to be inflation. People in vanilla made it to epic mounts that were 1,000 gold. And that's going to happen this time as well, because basic gameplay is going to generate the surplus gold, and eventually that's going to be enough that you can play the auction house. And once you get capital, you can play the auction house effectively, because people are essentially going to behave the same way. They're going to use the auction house to get items that they can't get by playing the game themselves. That's how it was in back in Classic. Now, I'm going to end the episode with a little market tip. This was the first gold-making market I learned, and I talked about it in an earlier episode. It's, of course, the Vision Dust Shuffle. To do it, you need the White Bandit Mask, which is a world drop recipe. So if you have Tailoring and Enchanting, keep your eye out for that specific recipe. You can use it to generate Vision Dust really cheaply, and it's probably going to make you a lot of gold. So that's something to stay tuned for. Now, that is going to be the end of this night's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it yourself. I want to thank all of my patrons for supporting the show. And if you are a $10 patron or higher, you can also contribute questions, just like Rachel and Ray did. So make sure you're doing that if you aren't. Make sure you're checking out the blog at thelazygoldmaker.com if you haven't already. I blog 3 times a week about gold making. You can also find me at twitch.tv/lazygoldmaker, where I stream on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's it, guys. Until next time, I hope you have a very profitable week. Goodbye.